Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, thank you for responding. I appreciate it. We're going to call the March 3rd, 2020 Tompkins County Legislature meeting to order. Would you all please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call of members.
Dave McKenna.
Here.
Glenn Morey.
Here.
Martha Robertson.
Here.
Mike Figler.
Here.
Shauna Black.
Here.
Amanda Champion.
Here.
Deborah Dawson.
Here.
Henry Granison.
Present.
Rich John.
Here.
Amanda Kellis. Or I'm sorry, Anna Kellis. Dan Klein.
Here.
Ann Corman.
Present.
Mike Lane.
Here.
Leslyn McBean Claiborne.
Present.
We have 13 members present.
And please let the record show that Anna's asked to be excused this evening. Thank you. Presentation of proclamation, petitions, and communications.
Communications are on the desk.
I have two special awards for this evening, and I'd like to recognize my colleague, Glenn Morey, for the Distinguished Youth Award.
Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Nobody's talking. I would like to present Betty Conger, the Deputy Mayor of the Village of Groton, who will be introducing you to Hudson Danger Scaglione, the county's next Distinguished Youth Award. Betty?
Good evening, everyone. This is the letter that I presented. I wish to nominate Hudson D. Scaglione from Groton for the Tompkins County Distinguished Youth Award. A bit of history about Hudson. In 2016, as a first grader, Hudson wrote a book, My Friend the Big Whale. It earned second place in the PBS Young Writers competition. When Hudson was a second grader, he was recognized by the School Board of Education for his first place win in the PBS Young Writers competition for his grade level. The book was entitled The Big Great Barrier Reef. It encourages kids to use recyclable water bottles. And on to 2018, Hudson wrote his third book, The Mysterious Amazon River. This book addresses the problems of poaching of wild fish being caught and sold in pet stores. Hudson encourages kids to ask if the tropical fish they are buying are not wild caught. This year, he was awarded the National American Legion Auxiliary Good Deed Award for his contribution to a school for the following. He has his own business, Hudson Sauces and Goodies, and he donates 20% of his profits to the Groton school system for the construction of a trout tank. This program is sponsored through Trout Unlimited, a national conservation organization that promotes fishing and restoring the places people love to fish. The trout tank has been constructed in the Groton Elementary School, and the trout have hatched. They will be put in local streams in the spring. Hudson donates 20% of all his profits to his school for various projects. This year, it just happened to be for the trout tank. He hopes to raise $100 this year to donate to the school. To quote Hudson, imagine what $100 can do for a school. Hudson is an exceptional young man, and I feel that he is certainly a Tompkins County distinguished youth.
How Hudson's going to say a couple words beforehand, but Hudson, for you, we have some purity complimenting coupons. We have a T-shirt for 95.9, and we will get you something else from Bang's ambulance later on. But the plaque reads, 2020 Distinguished Youth Award, an award that emphasizes a truly inspirational, exceptional individual, Hudson Scaglione. And this is brought to you by Bangs Ambulance, Thompson County Legislature Special Trophy and Awards with Dryden, Purity Ice Cream, and Cuter Radio. Right. Hudson?
Hi. Wait, is this on? Hi, my name is Hudson. I am 10 years old from Groton Elementary School. I am a three-time author. One of my books won first place. I am also a small business owner where I grow vegetables and turn them into all sorts of goodies and sauces. I donate 20% of my profit to my school. My principal uses the money I raise to help build a trout tank. We raised fry into adult fish and will release them in the spring. I have always been passionate about the world's waterways. I have taught myself everything I know about water life conservation. Single-use plastic is killing our oceans, lakes, and rivers. By donating money to my school and writing books about how to stop using plastic, I can teach kids how they can save the world and its water. But we are just kids. You guys are adults, so you can help a lot more. Think about what plastic forks, water bottles, bags, and plastic wrap you use, only one of these can be recycled. If you are one of these people that make laws and you are watching this, you can make an even bigger difference than most adults. I am going to keep making difference by getting other kids interested, and maybe some of the kids will grow up to make laws too. Small changes can change the world. I will keep working to help my school and all the kids in it. I still have a few more years before I can vote. Thank you so much for this award.
What an amazing choice for a Distinguished Youth Award. Hudson. Only 10 years old. What are you going to do when you grow up, man? You're doing so much already. Know from this body that stood, gave you a standing ovation, that we're extremely proud of the work that you're doing. We are even more proud knowing that you are taking this thing about our climate, our environment, so seriously and setting the standard for many young people and adults to follow. So thank you for doing that, and congratulations again on your award. Keep doing good things. All right. Boy, it's a hard act to follow. That's just amazing. All right. We have a proclamation declaring Agriculture Month in Tompkins County. And Monica, are you here? Yeah, you are. And I will read this very quickly, I think. Whereas March signifies a national celebration in the importance of food and agriculture in the United States, as it provides almost everything we eat and use each day. This month, we recognize and celebrate the diversity and abundance provided by New York's farms and our growing food and agriculture sector and the contributions of Tompkins County's family farmers. And whereas there are 33,400 farms in New York State and 6.9 acres of operated farmland, and whereas the agricultural industry in New York State contributed more than $5.4 billion in agricultural economy sales to the New York economy each year, and whereas with farmland occupying nearly one quarter of New York State's land area, Agriculture also promotes New Yorkers' quality of life in other ways, including providing access to fresh, locally sourced food, preserving open space, and enhancing communities through farmers markets and other such activities. And whereas recognizing the month of March as Agriculture Month in Tompkins County provides the opportunity for all residents of Tompkins County and New York to better appreciate agriculture's breadth and beauty, how food and fiber products are produced, and the role agriculture plays in providing safe, abundant, and affordable products. And whereas commemorating Agriculture Month will build awareness of the benefits of the agricultural industry in Tompkins County and encourage young people to consider agriculture as a career. Hudson left already and said, here's another book. Although he is with the fish. Now, therefore, I, Leslie McBean Claiborne, Chair of the Tompkins County Legislature, do hereby proclaim the month of March 2020 as Agriculture Month in Tompkins County and urge all New Yorkers to join me in recognizing the importance of our food and agriculture industry, to thank a farmer for providing the food we eat, and to help celebrate every month with meals from a variety of New York State products. Agriculture Month in Tompkins County.
Something?
Yes.
You're welcome.
Okay, and thank you, everybody. I'll introduce our farmers, and we'll give them a hand tonight. This proclamation is being accepted on behalf of Farm Bureau and the Ag and Farmland Board and Cooperative Extension. And for Farm Bureau, Cal Snow is here. You guys have one of the oldest farms in Tompkins County, I think, over 100 years, I know, right? 200. So we have one of our older dairy farms in the county and one of our, maybe 50, 60-year-old farms, one that's sort of on the smaller side and one that's on the large side. And we, the nice thing about agriculture in Tompkins County is that we have everything in between and we have a huge diversity of farms in our county. And so if you guys want to say a few words and then I'll introduce my colleagues. You want to say anything?
Sure. Okay. Just want to thank you for the proclamation. Any recognition we can get is great. I'm John Fleming, by the way, chairman of the Ag and Farmland Protection Board. So we're working for you guys on making sure the ag plan is implemented and doing the reviews of the ag district, which we're currently in the middle of. So again, I just thank you for your support.
Thank you again for this beautiful, inclusive and diverse proclamation. So something that the Farm Bureau has, which if you don't know, it's an organization made up basically of farmers and people that are ag-related that just has an interest in what political decisions are made that affect them and just keep an eye on legislation and rules and things that just try to provide the rural aspect of how they will affect us. So Farm Bureau has put together just a little plaque that we would like to present back to the county. And it says, growing your food, growing our farms, because it is a partnership. We need our government organizations and regulations. And so.
Well, thank you very much. We give you 1 year to come back now.
Thank you. Thank you for all you do here, too.
Yeah, and just a final comment. I want to introduce my two colleagues who are taking my place at Cooperative Extension. I'm Monica Roth. I think most of you guys know me. And Graham Savio is stepping into my position as the Ag Issue Leader, and Mila Fournier will be working with him, working on Ag District Review as one of the things, and Open Farm Days as another thing that we do for the county. And so I'm looking forward to these guys working with you in the future. And we are committed ourselves as an organization to implementing the County Ag and Farmland Protection Plan. We hope that in the next year we take a look at the plan. It's 5 years old already. Time to look at it and see what's relevant, what might have changed, and continue to move forward and help preserve our agriculture, help our farmers continue to grow their businesses and stay viable. I think of, you know, starting in whenever it was, 1980, and thinking back that there were 212 dairy farms, and now we probably have 40 in the county. So a lot has changed, but I think the important thing to remember is that we still actually have pretty much the same amount of land in agriculture. Farmers still own and operate a lot of land. They own about nearly a third of the total land area of the county, or, you know, if they don't own it, they rent it and farm it. So there's a lot of agricultural activity, even though there are a lot fewer farms. And, you know, I think we need to recognize it as an important land use, as an economic sector of the county. And, you know, it's a resource that we all need for the future in terms of, you know, if the climate changes, we need food. So thanks to these guys for producing it. Thanks also to you for funding earlier, well, at the end of last year, Tompkins County Food System Plan that we'll be working on this coming year and next year to implement or to develop, and then you'll have a plan that looks like this, and we'll be able to move forward with a number of action steps that help preserve the security of our food. Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you, Monica. Thank you very much, Mrs. Snow, Mr. Fleming. Thank you for the plaque to us. We'll hang it proudly. And to Graham and Mila, thank you for transitioning into your roles as well. We will move on with our agenda. Just as a quick announcement, I'll be asking for an executive session this evening for us to talk about some real estate, some negotiations around real estate. And yes, that's it. All right, let's move on to privilege of the floor for the public. I have one blue card here from, I believe it's Andre Gardner. There you are.
Hi, my name is Andre Gardner. I'm a board member on the Downtown Ithaca Alliance, and I've been in Ithaca now combined 8 years. I manage the properties on Aurora Street. I'm a small property owner by Washington Park.
Andre, just very quickly, I just want to make sure you know you have 3 minutes.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Go ahead.
So I'm here today to talk about the proposed conference center in downtown Ithaca. Just for stepping back a second, most of the numbers that I'm using are from the Hundin 2017 and 2019 studies. Those reports assume that this conference center is going to be financed through a one-time expenditure of $36 million, so the numbers that I'm using are based on that. Just as a general reference point, project's supposed to be $36 million, 49,000 square foot conference center. It's being selected, or will likely be selected, over the alternative, which is 55 units of affordable housing, 9,000 square feet of commercial space, which is rumored to be a grocery store. I don't know if I believe that, but that's what the rumor is. In terms of net performance, we're looking at the conference center will bring new visitors to Compton's County of around 50,000 a year. That's after a ramp period of about 5 years, and it will generate around 22,000 new room nights a year. That looks, sounds like a really big number, but once we hit that ramp period, it'll be around 2027. Those will account for less than 5% of visitors and room nights in Tompkins County. Operating performance, we're looking at earnings to the county, so hard dollars that people earn, not spending, of about $2.6 million a year. That's table 24, if anyone's got the study in front of them. And there'll be losses to the center of about $220,000 a year. And again, those are pro forma losses. I think the challenge with the conference center is multi. One, One, the Hunden study has no methodology, and it gives no context on past performance. So we have no idea, based on the over 100 studies Hunden has done, how those centers that have been built have performed. So there's been one meta-study on this, who's published in 2014 by a professor in Texas. I actually spoke to him, so if you call his office, you can probably talk to him. He did a review of about 20 large projects dating back to the 80s. They missed forecast by about 50%. So if we miss forecast by about 50% in Ithaca, that'll add $150,000 to $250,000 to the operating losses a year. I'm running out of time, so I think the fundamental question that I've been asking is, if we had $36 million, what would we do with it? We could build a minor league baseball stadium. I wouldn't do that, but you could do that. And the other thing is that while we're paying for this through an occupancy tax, there is not an unlimited tax-bearing capacity in Tompkins County. The state's budget deficit, I believe, is $6.1 billion, and we may take some hits on Medicaid. You might want to think about our tax capacity for that. So I will stick around, and thank you for everyone who's chatted with me over the phone. It's been a pleasure. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Andre. You timed that perfectly. That was the only blue card I have. Anybody else from the public would like to address the legislature? No? Thank you. Oh, please go ahead.
I guess I would be speaking at privilege of the floor as a municipal officer from the town of Caroline. Please do all that is within your power to be sure that we get accurate census count in Tompkins County. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Snow. No other public? All right. We'll move on to municipal officials, and I see two. Kathy from the town of Dryden. Is that right, Kathy?
Yep.
Yes, Kathy Service.
Yep.
And George McGonigal. Kathy, you want to go ahead?
Okay.
Thanks for joining us.
Hi.
Hi.
I am coming here with two hats on. Let me put on my bright blue hat for the Tompkins County Youth Services Board. I am a representative. I'd like to give you a report on what we've been doing lately. And let you know that the funding that the legislature has been gave the department is going to good use. First, we have 11 applications for the pitch program. The pitch will be held on March 25th at Hotel Ithaca, and you're all invited. I'm sure you will get a formal invitation from Kate Schenck's booth explaining exactly when to be there. You're all invited. And that is the $20,000 you authorized for the pitch program the last, I think this is our third year. Second, you also authorized some funding for training. We have Growing Up in the Age of Porn, led by Janice Whitlock from the Broffenbrenner Center for Translation Research at Cornell University, is being held on March 19th from 6 to 8 at Hotel Ithaca. It is a training to help foster a discussion about the nature and challenges of youth online access to sexual information, adult entertainment, and social sexual networking. And it will help offer strategies and resources for parents and youth workers. So that is something that is free, and you do need to register because there's limited space, but it is free. Along with that, well, in addition, staff has been going out to our agencies that are contracted with us and doing an informal evaluation to find out where their strengths are and if there are any needs for training. So those evaluations will help in creating further trainings throughout the year. Okay, any questions on any of those? Okay, I'm switching hats now. Town Board, Town of Dryden. We are considering numerous zoning changes in the Varna area related to density. and just thought you guys ought to know. The town is also applying for a USDA Reconnect Loan Grant Program for funding to install broadband in our town. I believe we will be the first to do this, to offer municipal broadband. And our comp plan continues to formulate. We are holding steering committee meetings and public meetings. Our next public meeting is March 25th from 6 to 8 at the Dryden Firehouse, at Neptune Firehouse. If anybody would like to attend, it's open to the public, and we are anxious to hear your thoughts. Any questions about that? Awesome. Yes.
What do you mean offer municipal broadband?
Municipal broadband. It's one of Jason's initiatives that he would love to. We had a study done about the access to broadband in our town and what the residents would like to have, and he's working hard to try to bring broadband to the town, and it would be operated by the town. So it may or may not happen, but we have some good information and some very positive feedback from that.
So that you would operate it as like a utility?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, Dan.
Any updates or news you can give us about the Freeze Road Bridge?
You had to ask.
You knew somebody would, right?
The Freeze Road Bridge is still under discussion, and we are waiting for a response to a letter that the town sent to Department of Transportation. We have not received that. It's been only a couple weeks, so we haven't received that back yet. I don't have anything further to say. Anything else?
Anyone else? No, thank you, Kathy.
Thank you so much for your time, and have a great evening.
Please come again. All right. George? George McGonigal, Alderman from the City of Ithaca.
Good evening. Nice to be here. I've just got a few things. We're meeting tomorrow night, Common Council meeting for March, and we'll be voting on a new towing agreement with area towing services. And that's going to be through the city clerk and the IPD, Ithaca Police Department, and we're going to be using the Tompkins County 911 dispatch center. So if your car gets towed after tomorrow, it's going to cost you a little bit more, just so you know. The second thing is another bus company is going to be working out of Ithaca. It's called Flix Bus, and they'll be operating in the city and picking up and dropping off on Green Street. Yet another development project downtown is in the works. The negotiations between Ithaca Properties LLC, which is Jeffrey Remlin's group, and the IURA and the city are underway. The city owns air rights over property that Mr. Remlin owns, and so we're trying to decide whether we want to sell those or not. It would involve demolishing and rebuilding the eastern third of the Green Street parking garage, and it would involve the building of a 13-story apartment building with commercial space on the bottom floor. This would be between the new Marriott Hotel and just directly south of the new Marriott Hotel. The last thing I'd like to mention, I don't want to steal Leslin's thunder, but the GIAC Black History Month talent show is going to be this Friday at the high school in Culp Auditorium from 6 to 8.
Such thunder. Let it roll.
Okay. And this is the 30-something year in a row where I have not been asked to perform.
Duly noted.
Have you been asked not to perform?
Specifically.
Yes, Amanda, and then Andrew.
Hi, George. Construction questions for you. Elm Street and Brindley Street. What's the timeline?
I went down to Elm Street and had a look the other day, and the big hole in the middle of the street is a much smaller hole. I don't have a specific time that it's going to reopen, but the original estimate was 2 months. I think it's been a little over one month. So I can find that out for you. The Board of Public Works didn't meet last month, so we didn't really get an update. But I can find that out and send it along. And what was the other one?
Brindley Street. They're putting that bridge.
Oh, yeah. It'll be this year, 2020, there'll be a new bridge. I'm not sure when. I can find that out, too, and send the information along to y'all. The actual Brindley Street Bridge is going to be converted into a pedestrian bridge when the new bridge is opened.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. Thank you, George. Henry?
George, you talked about the towing agreement. Does that have to do with the new organization that they were going to bring in for the towing agreement to emergency response? So they were talking about bringing in a new system, having a third party deal with the towing?
Oh, yeah.
Because I heard the last...
That was from far out.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, because the last time Brian was here, he told me that deal fell... He said the deal fell apart. And that's why I'm surprised you guys are signing a new deal.
Well, the deal is between the city and the local towers.
Okay.
And there's like a rotation of local outfits that the city uses to tow vehicles that are parked in the wrong spot. And since we're working through the Tompkins County 911 dispatch, I guess that deal did fall through.
Okay. And so why is it going to be more expensive?
Because the rates went up. The rates hadn't changed for 10 years. And actually, we encouraged the city clerk not to raise them as much as they were planning on, and they didn't, but they are significantly more. Hopefully that'll help people not park in the wrong spot.
Also, when's the parking study supposed to come back?
That's still in the process, so I don't know the answer to that question either.
Okay, and don't you guys have a special meeting on March 11th?
Yeah.
With the conference center?
Yes, we do.
What time is that? What time do you plan on doing? Because that's another.
It'll be right before the Planning and Economic Development Committee meeting, which is usually at 6 o'clock. The meeting about the conference center is at 5:30.
Oh. One more question. Did you say 13 stories on that building?
I did.
Isn't that kind of high?
Yes, it is.
And are you guys giving a special?
It's actually four. The maximum height down there, believe it or not, is 140 feet. and this building is supposed to be 136 feet tall. And I think they will have to get a variance because I think the limit for number of stories is supposed to be 12.
Right.
And so this is a 13-story building. It doesn't max out the height, but it's one story more than zoning permits.
And so I assume it's not a PUD?
Nope.
No PUD? Okay.
Thank you, Henry. Thank you very
one other thing I want to mention, because it's going to be in the news this week. The city had some really unfortunate legal ending to a 10-year-long lawsuit with a former police officer for Ithaca Police Department. And it's going to cost the city a ton of money, like between $900,000 and $1 million. So we're reeling from that. And we think I think everybody on council thinks it's a raw deal, but to continue would just be pouring good money after bad. So this is something we're going to have to figure out how to pay for.
Heather, you have a quick follow-up?
Yes, I have a quick follow-up. Just with the snow removal, I know we both got emails on the south of the listserv. Has anything else happened with the snow tickets? People who not shoveled their walks and got tickets for not shoveling?
Well, if you don't shovel your walk and the city staffer who gives tickets is in your neighborhood, you will get a ticket. I think that was established.
All right, Henry, take care of your walk.
Good.
Martha and then Rich. We have to move on.
Yeah, hi, George. Question about a property. We haven't talked about the corner of Seneca and Aurora, where the old CTB, Ithaca Bakery was. Do you know what's happening there?
I do not.
Okay.
All right. Rich?
Welcome, by the way. Thanks for coming. I heard that there was going to be some work done on a pedestrian bridge over the inlet south of the State Street Bridge. Is that going forward this year, or is that in the works?
It's been approved. It's going to be a pedestrian bridge that is basically down by Cecil Malone Drive, and we'll cross the inlet to the bottom of the trail that goes north from there. It'll be part of the Blue Diamond Trail. I don't know if it's going to be built this year or next year, but fairly soon.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions for George? George, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And next year, stay tuned. George will be singing. And doing a river dance, I believe. Thank you.
I don't want to scare people away.
Comes to the floor for legislators. Ann, then Amanda, Dan, then Martha.
Thank you. As most people know, we have three electric vehicles, and I think I'm required to mention electric vehicles every time I'm in a meeting.
Yes.
So I just wanted to say that. But also I want to add that Jason has, don't mean to put you on the spot there, but, well, yes, I do. So has been driving the electric Kona, full electric Kona, back and forth to Albany a few times. And I don't know if you've gotten a chance to write up anything about your experiences. And I jokingly at one meeting said, well, you know, it would be good to do a diorama because that might be easier to carry around. So we have this diorama that we've made.
Wow.
It's a little hard to see. I'm going to pass it around, but here's Truman's Burg on this side. There's the county legislature. Albany's on the other side. And there's a lot of other details, so I'll pass it around. So I thought that'd be in a compact and easy way to bring this to your department and other meetings. So thank you.
So given the pulley mechanism, does that mean now that, you know, we're pulling Jason along? Is that symbolic of something? I'm not sure.
You can interpret it as you wish. Because we had a student here that was talking about the environment, most everything there is recycled from recycled. Mike, can I go this way? Okay. All right, Jason can see it.
Thanks very much, Annie, for the handiwork.
That's what I did on my summer vacation.
All right. There's a business for that. I can see it happening. Amanda?
Oh, boy. Not sure I can follow that. I have two things I'd like to share. The first is that you may or may not know, but this is the first time in history that both the Cornell women's hockey team and the men's hockey team are ranked number one in the nation. The women's team is playing in the playoffs this weekend. They've already been named the Ivy League champions and the ECAC, their league champions. So they're now playing for their championship title, and they're playing this weekend at 1:00 at Lina, if you're interested. If they win that, they will play on Sunday for the final. And then they will very likely be going to Boston for the national championship. So, and they are ranked number one, so I know, it's awesome. The second thing is that 2 years ago I attended NYSAC, and Deborah and I were sitting in a workshop knitting, and a woman in front of us turned around and said, "Oh, I should have brought my knitting." And so we got to talking with her, and I ended up talking with her later. She contacted me because she was writing a book, and her book just came out, and she sent me a copy. It's called Somebody's Gotta Do It, Why Cursing at the News Won't Save the Nation, But Your Name on a Local Ballot Can. It's by Adrienne Martini, and it's a memoir. It's not really a how-to run for office, but it's a memoir about her experience. She currently serves as a county legislator in Otsego County. And I haven't read the book yet, but there is a review on the New York Times. And I just wanted to give you one quote from her book, from the New York Times article here. Somebody's got to do it. Isn't sexy or scandal-ridden, and that's the point. Martini shows how running for local office takes a small amount of cash and a lot of time and moxie, and confesses that her time in government thus far is simultaneously the most fascinating and the most tedious thing I have ever done. So please pick up her book. She talks about all the ins and outs of what great fun running for office and participating in county government is like.
We can all testify to that. Somebody's got to do it. Thank you, Amanda. Thanks for sharing, and thanks for making that acquaintance. That's wonderful. Dan, Martha, and then Rich.
I just wanted to give a shout-out to a couple of community events that will be happening this month. The Senior Living Expo 2020, taking place on Saturday, March 28th, 10 to 1, takes place at the Clarion Inn, which was formerly the Ramada Inn, which was formerly the Holiday Inn. Presentations, how to recognize and avoid frauds and scams, community supports for aging in place. You can have a medication review with a pharmacist. You can have a balance and mobility test. And then another event that's happening this month is the FoodNet Meals on Wheels Mac and Cheese Bowl. This is their fundraiser. It's taking place at Ithaca High School on Saturday, March 21st, 11:30 to 2. And I guess you sample mac and cheeses and you vote on...
So good.
Which is a good one. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Martha?
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple of things. Did you want to mention Sister Friends? We got two tickets left.
You're on it. Go for it.
Okay. Next Friday, March. Wishful thinking. March 13th at Ithaca College, the Emerson Suites, the 14th annual. 16th annual. Sister Friends Luncheon, and there are two tickets left on Eventbrite. Two. And the deadline is 11:39 tonight to buy and send. Anyway, it's a great event, and Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul is going to speak this year about women's suffrage and the beginning of women's right to vote 100 years ago with the 19th Amendment. So we are delighted to be able to welcome her. And if you're going, please wear white if you could. That was the suffrage color, women's suffrage color. And that's a special celebration, including Miss Indira Claiborne as one of the dancers. We always have some young performers, and so Leslin's daughter is going to perform as well. I wanted to give you a little recap on Medicaid. I think thank Jeff Dunn for our Medicaid Tuesday news release that we've spent another $219,478 today. We sent for our weekly Medicaid share. That's 1.975 million this year to New York State to pay our Medicaid bills. Well, actually, their bills that they call our bills. Jason sent you a very comprehensive message yesterday afternoon about Medicaid based on a conference call that he had with NYSAC. I urge you to take a look at that. And what's relevant are things like the 29 recommendations that NYSAC sent to the Medicaid redesign team. They wanted suggestions. They got some suggestions, and that they may be looking to have county legislators also attend more meetings in Albany, but no news on next week, right? I mean,
nothing that I asked, although I will say they were very grateful for the representation that Tompkins County had for the several legislators that went a few weeks ago following NYSAC, I think a week or so afterwards. So while most of the county administrators were on the phone, NYSAC staff thanked us specifically for our efforts and for your efforts, really, as legislators going and committing the time and lobbying.
Yeah, I think it's next Wednesday they're talking about going.
They did. A lot of their focus is going to be once these One House bills come up and come out, they're going to, you know, that will change some of their shift. Mm-hmm. And I can add a little bit more after your update if you'd like. But basically, you know, the One House bills are going to come out shortly. One thing they did say unanimously, that every state legislator they met with in the Assembly and the Senate did not approve or support the governor's proposed Medicaid changes. So that was nice to hear that. I know they met with all the leadership, as well as most of the committee chairs and relevant, prominent assembly and senators that have some stake in the game. So hopefully the one bill budgets that come out, or the One House budgets that will come out, will shed some light as to where they then change their direction and lobby.
Right. Unfortunately, that's not usually enough when the governor's made up his mind. So we do need to, I think, continue to keep that on in that light. And if this is sort of a report under, because you assigned, you know, Mike Ziegler and myself as from lobbying or whatever, I think we may call it intergovernmental affairs or something like that. And maybe have a slot on future agendas. But just to go forward, I did reach out to the offices of our senators and our assemblywoman. And so far, we tentatively might get Senator Tom O'Mara here in Ithaca this Thursday at 4:30. She asked, you know, what about short notice? He's going to be in Ithaca this Thursday. I said, well, I'll see if anybody can come, and I marked it off. So can I just see a show of hands? 4:30 this Thursday, is anybody able to make that? Okay, so it could be worth it, you know, since we really want to reach them before. Last year we got messages back, well, can I wait till after the budget was passed? Like, no, we need to talk to them now. So this is the first concrete response I've gotten back, and I'll let you know if we have what else we get hear back from them. I'll keep bugging. And I think, Jason, your point about reaching out to Congressman Reed, and we can reach Schumer and Gillibrand as well, maybe not in person, but definitely to their staff, about the FMAP issue. I love the idea of suing the state over the funding that was supposed to be earmarked for counties.
That's a little different this year in the state budget. That they're, you know, and I think NYSAC will give us some more direction, but I think we can definitely start reaching out to Senator Schumer and Congressman Reed's office and Senator Gillibrand as well. That there's an interpretation issue over this EFMAP aid, which was intended for us specifically in New York State counties, which is now being intercepted by the state. So there's an interpretation issue, which generally the state budget doesn't involve our national representatives or federal representatives. In this case, it does. So it probably doesn't hurt to put a coordinated effort for the congressman and the two senators to say, hey, this isn't working for us, and see what it can do for us.
So we'll follow that kind of stuff up. But I also want to mention I'll be sending out a doodle poll looking for a time when we can set up a meeting just for an initial brainstorming and kind of setting up. I understand a few people are interested in whether we form this as an actual committee or what we do, but we'll send out a note soon to make tomorrow to look for a time when we can meet. So if there's anything else you wanted to add about that, Leslie, about what your thoughts were.
I most certainly will when it comes to my turn.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Now, Rich?
Thank you, Leslie. I wanted to mention a fundraiser for the Family and Children's Service of Ithaca that's taking place this Sunday, March 8th, at the Ithaca High School from 1 to 4 o'clock. And it's the Peace of Mind event. I'm holding the flyer for it. And it's a series of sessions with local instructors, yoga, movement, Pilates, Tai Chi, Reiki, and even acupuncture. I've gone the last couple of years, and I can attest it's open to beginners. It's a really good event if you want to try things or if you're very accomplished. There's excellent instructors in all of these different fields, and you can go and try what you like. That's 1 to 4, March 8th at Ithaca High School. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. Michaeline?
Well, we're hoping for spring. Noticed at my house the snow bells are starting to come out already. We've had a very interesting winter this year. A lot of ice, a lot of rain, a lot of sleet. People have talked about it not being quite so cold this winter, but it's been cold several times. What we worry about when we get ice and sleet is the loss of electricity. We're talking about going even heavier to electricity dependent in Tompkins County, and we're talking about not having as much natural gas, for example, or fuel oil, or we know we're not going to have coal-fired generation anymore. Relying on electricity seems clean, although the electricity, of course, is generated mostly from natural gas or coal in other areas. But what it is, it means that we really are dependent on our transmission system locally in upstate and coming into upstate. It wasn't that many years ago that there was a terrible ice storm, and we were lucky to not to have it. And it took down a lot of power lines upstate. We could have that again and again. We need to begin talking about our utilities, our public utilities, quote-unquote public, which have cut back on maintenance because of deregulation, cut back on the employment and the crews available to respond to emergencies. These companies have franchises with our towns and villages, which haven't been updated since probably, and for many of them, since the 1930s. In Dryden, We just had a major line go down because the utility pole snapped. They weren't hit by anything. They just broke. And they crossed Route 13 and 38 and took the power out to the north part of Dryden Village and all the way into most of Freeville for almost 9 hours in a very cold night, Friday night. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a similar thing happened over in Trumansburg area where some of the lines came down, but I may be wrong on that. We're much too dependent on lines that are strung on poles, a technology that was developed by Ezra Cornell for telegraph lines years ago. I'll just mention one other thing, and then I'll stop. But I watched a report about the Bahamas, and it was about the recovery of their electric grid and generation after Hurricane Doreen that just happened. Knocked out their diesel-fired electric plants, knocked down all their wires. And what they're doing and starting to look at is what we have dabbled with, and that's microgrids. They want to build a solar array near their government buildings and hospitals on the Bahamas that will be able to produce electricity even if the grid goes down in that country. Microgrids are smart things to do, and we need to keep looking at those. We know our airport is looking at that. It's one way we can keep operational in a disaster like an ice storm that could very well happen. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike. Anyone else? Yes, Henry.
I just want to announce that on March 1st, all the plastic bags went away in grocery stores this year, and that I was there. I remember to bring my reusable bags that I always leave in the trunk of my car, and so I was able to not have to pay a nickel a paper bag, and I felt good.
Yes, Martha.
Yeah, just quick response to Mike. I know Irene Weiser from the town of Caroline has been, she's been schlepping to Albany like three times a week for the last 5 months as a party to the rate case for NYSEG. So she is, Brian Eden has been part of it too. But I think they are relatively close to a settlement that they may be able to announce. I think maybe once it's settled, maybe it would pay to ask Irene to come in and talk about it, because I know that things like upgrading the systems, improved maintenance, are all part of the kinds of things that the PSC and the consumers are really pushing for. And so far, NYSEG has not gotten very good marks from as among the utilities in New York State. It's not doing. It's maybe at the bottom of the pile. So, but I think we could get a lot of good information if once Irene is free to talk about the negotiations.
Thank you. Keep that on our list of folks to invite. And maybe there's a committee that you can share information with, and we can also get that information. Thank you very much. Any other legislators? I love you. Go ahead.
Sorry. I just wanted to make a quick announcement. I have been contacted from a few of our constituents that have had concern about the coronavirus, and just wanted to make a general statement about that. As a county, we are definitely prepared to handle situation that might arise. The one key focus that we ask everyone to have is that of prevention. And just a few quick tips. Wash your hands often with soap and water. water for at least 20 seconds. If soap and water are not available, use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth with unwashed hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue, then throw the tissue in the trash. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects and surfaces. On our Tompkins County website, you can look, and we have the preventative measures, as well as there is a phone number for a New York State helpline that has been set up, and that number is 1-888-364-3065.
Can you repeat the number?
Yes. The number again is 1-888-364-3065.
Thank you. Thanks, Shauna. And yes, I mean, certainly people are concerned, so that was a great announcement to make. Just have to remind people to not put the sneeze upon tissue back in your pocket. Instead, put it in the trash. We understand. Anyone else? Okay. We don't have any special topical presentation for this evening, and so we'll move on to chair's report and appointments. Now, like Martha hasn't stolen my thunder already, George took a little bit, and then there goes Martha taking the other bit. Roll. Just messing. Let me talk about just very quickly our appointments. I'm going to go straight to that. For 2020, you should have this in your red folders, I believe. So the Tompkins County Area Development Board of Directors, the appointees are Anna Kellis and Mike Sigler. So the TCAD Executive Committee, Anna Kellis, Chamber of Commerce, Mike Sigler, and myself, Leslie McBean Clearborn, Extension Service. We will continue with Amanda Champion and Dave McKenna. You've done such a stellar job, we didn't want to remove you from there. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Anna Corman is appointed chair of that committee. That is a special committee of the legislature, doing great work. Ethics Advisory Board, Rich John as chair. Ithaca Metropolitan Planning Organization, ITCTC Policy Committee. Mike Lane continues. And there's an alternate slot as well, so I'll be looking for legislators to please step up for that. Tompkins Center for History and Culture, Rich John is our liaison. MEGA, Municipal Electric and Gas Alliance, Katie Bergella, our planning director. And Keogh Watershed Intermunicipal Organization, Deborah Dawson will continue, and we are also looking for an alternate. Amanda, right here, we will include Amanda as the alternate. Thank you, Amanda, for stepping up. Now, the committee that Martha was alluding to in her privilege of the floor is our IGR, our Intergovernmental Relations Committee. And the idea behind it is have a group of legislators who are able to connect with, either bring here or travel to some of our state and federal representatives to bring issues, not make policy decisions, not decide what the county should or should not be doing, but you'll be getting information from us to go and engage with our other elected officials on what are the things that are affecting us, for example, Medicaid, people who would go lobbying. We didn't want to call it the lobbying group. We prefer that we're building relationship and not just lobbying people. So that's the idea behind this committee. I've asked Martha Robertson to be chair of this committee and Mike Sigler to be the vice chair of this committee. And we have three other legislators who have stepped up. I wanted particularly to leave it open for folks to request or folks to say I'd like to serve on that. The other three are Deborah Dawson, Shauna Black, and Anna Kellis.
So it does not mean that all the people aren't, all the legislators aren't invited to participate in the conversation, and certainly if there are issues that you think our this committee should be engaging some of our representatives around to share. These are folks who already do some of the traveling to Albany on Lobbying Day, bringing some of our concerns. Martha just mentioned Senator O'Mara being here and jumping on that opportunity. The expectation is that this group will be working together. Martha already set the stage for brainstorming. What are the issues? Now, it's not by any means, I want to be clear about this, a rogue committee that is going to just decide out of the air that this is the issue. All of us will have some input, and we will hear from them what are the things that they'll be lobbying on our behalf around. Any questions, comments, concerns? Mike and then Dan.
Coppins County Area Development, normally the chair has been there. Will you be going to those meetings?
I will do my best to go when I can.
But you're appointing other people rather than yourself?
Yes, because the chair can have an alternate, the chair can have a designee.
I just want to say that I think it's something the chair should attend.
And the chair's decision is that the chair will go when the chair can, and I have the right to appoint a designee, and so I have done that. Thank you for that, though. Yes, Dan.
I'm wondering if we can consider naming the new committee the Tompkins Intergovernmental Relations Committee.
Tiger?
Tiger Committee. Just to throwing it out.
The wonderful thing about tigers.
So, by the tail. We'll take all suggestions. All
right. Tiger, go ahead. I like that idea. Go for it. Any other comments, questions?
We need a logo, too, you know. Like.
Or a diorama.
Absolutely.
Annie will keep building. Thank you. The other thing that I want to mention is that I am going to be looking for folks for the various negotiating teams. So we'll be sending out an email asking for folks to volunteer as legislators to be on those teams along with our county administration and HR. So stay tuned, and I'm looking forward to people stepping up for that. Anything else? Did you raise your hand? No. All right. No, scratching your head. Thank you very much. Moving along. Reports by our county administrator.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have two items. I think Martha covered most of the Medicaid update, and if there's any questions of what we sent out, I'd be happy to answer them. I know there will be frequent communication from NYSAC staff. They were pretty engaged. Steve Aquari was on the phone as well with us and concerned about these proposals that did not change as to the 30-day amendments for the governor. So at this stage, they're waiting for the House bills to come out and then to see what type of movement they can get. So as more information comes out, we'll update the legislature and see what happens from there. I'll just second the comments Shauna made about the coronavirus. Lisa Holmes and I were in a meeting yesterday with the Public Health Department. Our three higher ed institutions, Dewar, as well as CUNY Medical Center, about mostly a series of discussions about some preparatory planning, education, and outreach. Two of the three higher ed institutions that have students and faculty abroad have recalled them come stateside. As they've come in, particularly from Italy and South Korea, they have been voluntarily going into isolation, most at their homes, which may not be in Tompkins County. There are some that are here in Tompkins County that are those institutions are then finding adequate housing for them for the next 14 days as they isolate voluntarily. So there's constant communication. The public health department has set up their internal structure to be able to handle inquiries, and they are the first point of contact. We are learning more from the state every day, and actually Frank is going to be going to Albany with all the public health directors on a Thursday meeting with the Department of Health at the state. From what we're getting is there's been a lot of effort, and probably rightfully so, pushed onto the local health departments as the first response to this, and they will be doing much of the work. And he'll be getting some clarity from the state on Thursday as to what the state is doing in response. Obviously, today was the last time I checked, was the second confirmed case in New York State. And as that continues, which you'll expect to do increase, we'll continue to be vigilant in our response. At this point in time, nothing has changed with the best way to combat this or to address it is to simply take the vigilant effort you would take during normal flu season. You know, wash your hands, you sneeze in your elbow. You know, if you're not feeling well, call your doctor and try not to get everybody else sick. That's essentially the best mechanism to address this and addressing, you know, panic and concern from the public so that we can be able to manage it effectively without creating more panic. Although meeting with the staff, meeting with CMC and the professionals, they have a good grasp on things. They're doing everything they can to mitigate and to move forward. So we'll continue with the periodic updates. I sent you some information today that NYSAC had forwarded us that came from New York City. And send the same message from New York City in terms of how they're combating it as well. So we're all working collectively on this. It's a good collaborative effort, but as more information comes about, I'll update you on that. Does anybody have any questions on those two items? No? Okay. Since there was effort put into this beautiful diorama, I will give you a little blurb about my two travels if you'd like to hear. For NYSAC, I traveled in the Kona. I had two passengers with a total of three bags of luggage in the car. We started, it was about a 270 mile range in the vehicle, and it was a 35-degree day, slightly sunny in the afternoon, and we made it to Albany with about 90 miles left on the range. So there were no issues driving. Cruise control was nice. In fact, there are three types of settings you can drive in. In this case, we set in the eco drive mode because we were going long distance and wanted greater range. And actually going up and through the hills on the route we took, you saw a lot of regeneration when you maximize the regeneration option on the vehicle. Did not play with the comfort environment, you know, comfort zones inside of it. So heat was on, heat was off. We did not turn on the heat. So we drove as if we normally would have and had no problems.
Yeah, that's not true. You made us freeze.
Some, you know, I can't make up for some of the passengers and their complaints, but for the most part, the ride was comfortable, and the company was fine. On the way, obviously at the Desmond, there was no charging station, so I had to find a charging station. We had an app, the ChargePoint app. I charged at the Chili's around the corner. That is the only, I would say, downfall, is that there wasn't a level 3 charger, so it had to charge for about 8 hours. So I had Annie drop me off, you know, follow me, drop it off, and then came back and got it at the end of one day, and it was fully charged and ready to go. So that was the only inconvenience, because they didn't have a charger at the Desmond, which they may get in the future as they're doing renovations. The way back, again, one passenger with me, Deborah and I, drove back. No problems. Made it on the range. Was fine. It was a little less of a range, but it was also a little colder, and it was at night. The second trip was a little more interesting. So I went out about 2 weeks later for a trip in Albany for a NYMER meeting. It was in the middle of that snowstorm, that Friday snowstorm, when we were coming back. So the night that the Dryden telephone pole, intersected that when I came home and had a detour around it. That was a snowstorm Friday, so it took me about 6 hours to get back. I took the thruway route versus the back roads and had to charge midway through. So the driving was fine, but I charged at a level 3 charger at the Herkimer exit at a Denny's. So about a 45-minute charge. Couldn't get it to work, had to call customer service, freezing outside. They gave me a free charge, but it took about 45 minutes, and it charged it from a 50% range to about an 85% range in 45 minutes. So I had a dinner at Denny's, patronized Herkimer County, and then they need it, and drove back, and there was no problem driving in the snow. Again, there were only three level three chargers on the thruway between Albany and Waterloo exit or Geneva exit. And that was at the Waterloo outlet, and that was at the Herkimer, the Denny's, believe it or not, in Herkimer. The way I found that was through the Electrify America app, which I now have to get. So we have now three key fobs, or we'll have three key fobs on the Kona, on our key fob Kona, which is linked up to a county credit card. So when we go to charge, it automatically links up because there was a different charging station when I stayed overnight the second time in Albany in a parking garage. All in all, good trip. I will tell you one interesting fact. As I was playing around with the controls on my way back last time around, I found that as you increase the temperature or decrease the temperature, it adds range, like a 2 or 3 mile range every time you increase or decrease the temperature. And when you increase the fan amount, it increases or decreases the range about 5 miles every time you increase or decrease it. Thought that was interesting, but I didn't change the internal environment. Still drove fine, and I had no problems driving in the snowstorm. So that was my trip. It was not sunny like this, but it was a comfortable ride.
Could you start over using the diorama?
The only downfall, like I said, is if you're not at a place where there's a charging station, and I would imagine in the matter of a few years, most hotels will have them, and there'll be more public charging stations. Just the finding the level three charger. I mean, I used the app, which is great, but having to find one, there weren't a lot of them along the thruway, which I would imagine New York State and all of its efforts would make all New York State rest stops having level three chargers. I was kind of surprised that I didn't find there were no rest stops that had them at all on the thruway. These were, I had to get off at an exit to charge.
There's no money for it.
There what?
There's no money for it.
Yeah, well. So that was my trip. It was a good experience. If anybody had concerns about the range, I can tell you that there is a little bit of initial driving anxiety trying to figure it out, but once you get comfortable with it, I will also say it kind of is a self-induced mechanism to force you to drive slower, because the faster you drive, the more range you burn up. So you kind of drive a little slower, meaning you follow the speed limit and you regenerate. So it was a good experience, and I think it's, you know, my limited experience to it would say that there should not be an issue electrifying the fleet. This vehicle is the only smaller SUV with the largest range on the market. And I can't imagine there would be any longer trips that we would take, from a Tompkins County need. Even if we were to go to New York City, I don't know that we would take a county vehicle as it is. So if it can go to Albany, it can go to Buffalo, which would be the outskirts of the state. So anything that would be mostly staying in the county, which is probably the vast majority of the county passenger vehicles, could withstand, you know, vehicles with less range. So.
Thank you.
That's fine.
Yes. Except I thought that there was a meeting in Puerto Rico that the lobbying group was going to have to go to. So that would take us to JFK, I guess. So, all right.
Well, you could. Although I hear, I'll leave it at that.
I'll go. There
I'm not
going
to go anything else right now.
Anything else?
I wanted to ask a different topic. Shared services plan and the Airbnb database. Is there?
Yes.
That was something.
We are working on it, putting together an RFP to issue out and then to retain a firm, then collecting the data, and then we'll start distributing it and seeing the value of it. Okay. So it's in the works.
Okay. Yeah. And, like, what's the timeline on that?
Probably within the next 60 to 90 days.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Sure.
Anything else?
I have no further. Yeah, nothing further.
Thank you very much. County Attorney Jonathan?
I didn't come with a report, but I did want to follow up on George Agonical, what he said. More than 10 years ago, a guy named Miller, who was an employee, sued the city, and he also sued the county. On the theory that somehow the district attorney was responsible in some way for his situation. And in any way, we made a motion to dismiss. We got out of the case about 10 years ago. And when you get out, it's in federal court as an electronic system, and you get to choose whether you would continue to receive filings in the case, so anytime there'd be like a brief filed or a court order, you could continue, and most attorneys tend to just sign off and get off. But I like to stay on and see what happened in the case. Boy, was that a mistake, because there's 10 years and 921 filings later, I got the filing that the case had been settled. It's hard to imagine. I mean, I know what the settlement is, but how much money it cost over the 10 years, which we saved. It's been a case which I've been getting notices on almost weekly for 10 years. That's it.
Thank you, Jonathan. Any questions for Jonathan? Finance Director? Right.
And I have no report for tonight.
Wow. Thank you. I want to take a quick minute just to say something real quickly, because something that Mike Lane brought up made me think of this. So for those of you who don't know me, for all of you do, there's one thing about me is that I don't make decisions in a vacuum. I'm really careful about decision making, whether I'm talking with my colleagues or with staff. I believe in that sort of process. And so there's always good thought that goes into what I do. The other part about it, in my election, when I was elected for this body, I also shared with you that one of the things I hope we can do in this body is tap into the expertise that people bring. And all of you have different areas of great expertise that you bring to this legislature, and to elevate that, because I think we can be a real powerful body of elected officials effecting change, and that will be for the good of everyone. So just looking at what we bring, whether it's legal expertise or climate change things that you're working on, or arts and culture, or making dioramas, which I didn't know what it was until now. Any number of things. Understanding the coal tar issue, the power plant. There's so many things that we all bring such unique perspectives and expertise that I really and truly hope that as a body we will respect that of each other and help to promote that, because it will really make us the elected body to be the envy of many others. And the work that we can do when we come together like that will be tremendous. So I just wanted to share that. Moving on with our agenda, are there any resolutions to be... Oh, no, there's no staff that needs to see anything. Yeah. Oh. Resolutions to be added or withdrawn from the agenda? No? Consent agenda? These are resolutions and appointments to be voted on as a group, unless someone wants to have something pulled off of the agenda. I'll go to advisory appointments last. Public Safety Committee, Resolution A, authorization to create additional district, assistant district attorney level 4 title positions, ID 9156. Resolution B, under Facilities and Infrastructure, establishment of a consolidated facilities charge, rental car, Ithaca Tompkins Regional Airport, and I would like to pull that. Resolution C, under Government Operations, naming of Emergency Response Large Conference Room, ID 9157. Resolution D, authorized fee, conveyance notice, County Clerk, ID 9154. Planning, Emergency, and Environmental Quality Committee. Resolution E, authorization to accept funds from New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, the DEC, Municipal Zero Emission Vehicle, ZEV, Rebate Program, ID 9203. Resolution F, scheduling a public hearing for the continuation of and modifications of Agricultural District Number 1, located on the east side of Cayuga Lake and encompassing the towns of Dryden, Groton, Lansing, and parts of Danby and Ithaca. ID 9202. No? Okay. Budget and Capital Personnel Committee, Resolution G, adjustments to the 2020 budget, municipal sales tax distribution agreement. All right. And I have a motion to accept the consent agenda. Moved by Shauna, seconded by Ann. We also have advisory board appointments that I'm going to ask for us to vote on separately. To the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Rachel Graham, County Staff Representative, and Kate Shanks Booth, County Staff Representative as well. Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board, Mark Ox, Agribusiness Representative, and Graham Savio, Cooperative Extension. I have a motion to accept those advisory board appointments. Moved by Deborah. Seconded. All in favor of the consent agenda and advisory board? And that carries unanimously. Okay. Oh, raise your hand now, Henry. Don't be sleeping on me over there. Thank you very much. That carries. All to our standing committee and reports. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Ann, would you like to give a report?
So last week we had WDIC, and one of the things that I'd like to do is as chair is increase the membership. And so we are allowed to have 11 to 15 members. And so I think last I checked, between seven, but we have a couple of new people coming on board, two new members. So if anybody knows anybody that is interested, please you can put in an application through our county clerk. And also I think at next meeting I'd like to talk about what goals we would like to do for the next meeting.
Okay.
And I would like to publicly thank Leslyn for, I can't think of how many years you've been that you when you started that committee in another form. Pardon me?
2005.
So thank you for your leadership, and I will do the best I can to go forward.
And I'll continue to be there. You know, I can't give her that love either. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ann. Thank you for stepping up. Housing and Economic Development Committee, whose vice chair, Ann, is not here.
I guess I still need. Well, we have several resolutions on the agenda. We can move those first. Let me just say, many of these relate to the Strategic Tourism Planning Board and its grant programs, and we had a very energetic discussion about what the appropriate goals for those grants should be. I'm sure that that discussion will continue. And Nick Helmholtz assured me that one of the things that the STPB will be doing going forward is reevaluating and assessing how it awards grants. So with that said, I'd like to move Resolution H, making a negative determination of environmental significance in relation to resolution number blank of 2020, endorsement of strategic tourism planning 2021-2027, ID 9198.
Can I move? Seconded by Martha. Moved by Deborah, seconded by Martha.
Any questions, discussion on this? All in favor? That carries unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you. And then I will move Resolution J, Endorsement of Strategic Tourism Plan 2021 to 2027, ID number 9196, and I move that.
Second. Second by Rich. Any discussion? Yes, Dan, and then Rich.
I will vote in favor of this. I just want to say something about plans in general. I haven't heard anyone say this here, but when we endorse a plan like this, there are a lot of goals and actions in the plan. And I read through this one, and I don't agree with all the actions and suggestions in the plan, but it's not enough to make me vote against the plan. And I just wanted to say that in general, because I have heard it used the other way, where at some point somebody is disagreeing with some action, and somebody else says, well, it was in this plan that you voted for last year. So I guess I'm just sticking out this little territory that says, just because it's in this plan and I'm voting for the plan doesn't mean I necessarily will support each individual action later on. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. And just for record correction, that was Resolution I, not J.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. Rich?
That was all I was going to say.
Oh, okay. Mike?
I need to recuse myself from this vote because this is...
Mike, can you speak into your microphone, please?
Sure, I just need to recuse myself from this vote because this is some money for marketing. I would assume some of it will go to marketing, and that's I'm going to try to advertise for them. So that's why I'm going to recuse myself from Jay.
Okay.
Because I work for Park Outdoor Advertising. So.
Thank you for that. Martha?
Yeah, I just want to acknowledge the work that's gone into this plan. I think it's a real collaborative effort. I mean, you see on packet page 21 all the people who are directly involved in it. Nick Helmholt is here. He's our lead planner in the tourism program. And I find it, I know you didn't want to print the color pictures for all of us, but it is a beautiful plan if you look online. But also a really... an important and unique document in sketching out such a thoughtful way of using tourism dollars in our community. And I know that there's always another way to spend the money compared to other communities that haven't used the funds in this way to sort of really build up the whole community. I think this has really set a mark and made such a difference in our community since the inception of the program. So thanks, Nick, for all the work on this and for the whole SDPB.
Thank you, Martha. I'll echo some of what you said, Martha, but I also want to acknowledge what Dan has said. And I imagine that, everything is not, done, that there's opportunities, as Deborah said, for continuing conversation and tweaking and updating as things go along. I want to jump on the George McGonigal bandwagon there for a minute and say I feel a little left out here. I know that the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee had some input on this, and I don't see us listed on page 21. I'm just saying.
You're in trouble now.
Just saying, Nick. Just saying. No big deal. Any other questions on the plan? And, Mike, were you intending to recuse yourself from this vote, the plan, the strategic tourism plan?
No, the plan's fine.
The next one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because I know Deborah misspoke. So we'll take back your recusing yourself on this one and wait for the other one. All right. It was moved and seconded, right? All in favor? All right. That carries unanimously. Thank you very much. Continue, Deborah.
Okay. Thank you, Leslyn. Next, we have Resolution J, Award of 2020 Arts and Culture Organizational Development Grants, ID number 9195, and I move that.
Second. Seconded by Martha. Discussion. Okay. All in favor? Carries unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we have Resolution K, 2020 Tourism Budget Adjustment, ID number 9194, and I move that.
Second. Second by Shauna. Discussion? Okay. All in favor? Again, carries unanimously. Thank you very much.
And finally, Resolution number L, Amendment of the 2020 Tompkins County Budget to reflect appropriations of 2020 through 2021 budgets for the Ithaca-Tompkins County Transportation Council and authorization to implement the amendment, ID number 9185, and I move that.
Deborah, seconded by Mike Lane. Discussion? All in favor? Carries unanimously.
Thank you all.
Thank you all. Anything else, Deborah?
No.
Thank you. Complete Census Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
Well, it's getting down toward when the rubber is going to hit the road on the census here. We're only less than a month away from Census Day, and it's so important that we get the full count. We heard the representative from the town of Caroline talk about that. Appreciated that. Got to get the word out, folks. If you have listservs or other things, we've got to crank up the interest in the census participation. We met on the 2nd, Monday morning, and we had a great group. We had a couple of new folks that came in from different organizations that are focused on census. One was Catholic Charities, and the other was the Islamic Center were here, and they both have some hard-to-count individuals that they can help us reach. Other activities are there for places like Tompkins Community Action and some of the other folks that are helping. Our Public Information Advisory Board is planning a press conference, and that will be on the 20th, which is, I think, Friday, isn't it? And it will be at the Ezra Cornell Room of the Tompkins County Public Library. We'll be inviting all of you and other elected officials. So we expect to have Assemblywoman Lifton there and others to talk about the importance of the full count for New York State and for Tompkins County, and asking people to please participate. We need to get the students participating. We need to get folks that, from the homeless to the folks that have young children that might, they may not always count. It makes a difference how much we will be able to apply for federal and state grants. It makes a difference about how many Congress persons we're going to be able to have in for New York State. It makes a difference on the geographic representation when we do redistricting across New York State for Congress and the Senate, State Senate and the State Assembly, and for Tompkins County legislators and city alder people will be affected by the outcome of this census effort we have. Our IT people are working toward having some computer outreach. We've talked about that from the beginning. I got to thank Nick Murphy and Amy Hendricks for the work they've been doing on this god-awful New York State grant program that keeps it keeps being a moving target. Remember, we put in our budget for our $137,000 at by the end of the year. Expected to hear back whether our budget was approved. Heard back, Amy reported to us that, oh, they've changed their mind and all the money has to be spent through the not-for-profit organizations. So Amy and Nick put together a request for qualifications that went out to not-for-profits. We had a number, Nick reported to us, I can't remember all of them, but there were seven or eight different not-for-profits who have come through. The funding for them, I think he said, would be in the neighborhood of $60,000 for this budgeting. We're moving ahead to contract with them to do the work, to get the word out. And then the state called up and talked to, I think, Nick the other day and said, oh, by the way, we decided that the not-for-profit thing doesn't work as well as we thought it would, so you can also spend some of the money. Here we are at the beginning of March and trying to figure out how to do this and do it efficiently and properly and in the taxpayers' best interest as we go along. So pardon me if I'm a little disgusted by that, but at least we're doing our best, and thanks to our staff for going above and beyond on that. So those are some of the things that are happening. There's a lot of swag out there. It says, shape your future, start here, Census 2020. And it's, so if we get overheated, we've got a fan to keep cool. I thought one of the interesting things they were handing out at the census meeting was a little card that had peel-off stickers that you could put over the camera port on your computer so that the camera wouldn't take your picture, and it could also peel off afterwards, or if anyone was concerned about privacy as much as possible with the computer programs that are being required by the to answer the 10 census questions. We're still behind as far as people are concerned to be able to go out as census takers. We've done a little better. We had some more applications, but it's a nationwide problem, and it's certainly a New York State, upstate problem. It's very hard to get people to want to take these part-time jobs to be census takers. You could still apply. Please do that. I think that's pretty much what I can think of. If any of the other members of the committee want to add anything, I'd be glad to have you do that.
Thank you. My question's for Mike. Martha, and then I have a question.
Just want to thank the census folks for providing fans, and I think another item for the Sister Friends Luncheon, and also they're going to be personing a table to make sure people have information and have a couple of people that they can talk to directly about it. So we really appreciate that outreach.
They've been doing a good job. Unfortunately, they've had to change personnel several times with us, but we were lucky to, at the very beginning, we had Kate Dillon brought us in, and then we've had a couple of folks since then that have been doing a good job. One had to retire, but we now have two, Jennifer Carius and Michael Nicolair. Hopefully will see us through for Tompkins County till the end of the project.
Mike, do you know about how many people we still need to hire, did they say, in Tompkins County?
Didn't get a figure. We were looking for several hundred applications, and I think they've hired less than 300.
And the other question I keep getting asked is people keep asking, what are the hours of work? It's pretty flexible, isn't it?
I think
it?
It's flexible.
It's pretty flexible.
If they have any interest, they ought to go online and the census 2020. Census 2020, which is at 2020census.gov, 2020census.gov, and take a look at what the requirements are. And they keep telling us that they're going to work with folks. If they want to do just their neighborhood and things like that, they would probably work with them to set that up.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mike and complete census count? So March 1st. March 20th. Press conference.
1 o'clock.
March 1st is our request.
Tompkins County Public Library. Please come.
All right. Thank you. Downtown Facilities Committee. Dave McKenna.
Thank you. Downtown Facilities has not met. We will meet in these chambers on the 12th at 3 p.m. And I will defer to Glenn Morey if he's got any closing comments. He was previous chair.
No, I don't. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Glenn. Public Safety Committee, Rich John, chair.
Thank you, Leslin. And I'd like to thank Dave McKenna and Shauna for your service on the committee, and welcome to Glenn Morey and Mike Sigler. The Public Safety Committee met on February 20th, and we spent a good part of the meeting talking about the impacts from bail reform and discovery reform, and that's going to be an ongoing examination. But it's interesting how it's has a lot of knock-on effects from changing those things where we didn't consider, say, some of the costs in Department of Emergency Response, and so we're going to be keeping track of that. We also started talking about priorities for 2020, and we'll continue that discussion. We will be meeting on March 19th at 3:30, and a major agenda item will be a visit from Labella, where we will get a look at the existing conditions survey for the jail facility in the public safety building. I do have some resolutions, and I would move Resolution M, ID 9180, appropriation from contingent fund to cover cost of dedicated internet service, District Attorney.
Second. Second by Shauna. Discussion.
I would just mention this is one of the knock-on effects of the discovery changes that the district attorney, and I see he's with us tonight, was using up all of the internet service the county had, moving documents around. There is so much data that is involved in complying with these new discovery rules that we now have a separate service for the district attorney's office.
District attorney is present in our chambers, so he's not using data right now.
I don't know.
Or he might be. Who knows? Martha?
Yeah, I just wanted to articulate and say it out loud for the public. This unfunded mandate, $4,932 this year, and that'll be that's only for part of the year, right? But so the full year will be a higher number that we're just – that's part of the state law that we're complying with in addition to the personnel that we added.
Any other comments? All in favor? Oh. Short roll call.
Dave McKenna?
Yes.
Leslin Nadine Clairborn?
Yes. Anyone want to record it as no? Oh. That carries.
I have Resolution N. ID 9178, appropriation from contingent fund, equipment, sheriff's office. And I'm moving the revised version you have in your folders.
Second. Second by Martha. Discussion. Rich, were you saying more?
I can certainly just say this is for the purchase of body armor for corrections officers.
Martha?
So, Rich, we had discussions earlier about the state not letting us board in. So one question is about where does that stand, and then about the resolution itself. So this $27,000, does this use up all of that board-in revenue that we have, or is there anything left?
I'm not sure. Maybe Rick could help us on that. But the I believe we are now being allowed to board in, and they've had a steady stream of them, not a lot, but some. With bail reform, I think this is an issue that there's excess capacity around the state, so we're probably not going to see as many board-ins. But I think this was where there was some money sitting, so they decided to use it there.
This is most of it.
But then, the prohibition or whatever it was that was preventing us from accepting board-ins, that seems to...
It seems to have gotten better.
Okay.
We don't know necessarily why.
Good.
The demand has gotten less, too.
Yeah.
Any other comments? Another short roll call.
David McKenna?
Yes.
Leslin McBean Clearborn?
Yes. Anyone want to be recorded as no? No? That carries. Thank you very much.
Okay, I have Resolution O, ID number 9160, appropriation from contingent fund, replacement pay, reimbursement, sheriff's office, and I would move it.
Second. Second by Dave. Discussion? Short roll call.
David McKenna?
Yes.
Yes. Anyone recorded as no? That carries. Thank you very much.
And Resolution P, ID 9155, appropriation from contingent fund to cover expenses of private laboratory district attorney. And I would move it.
Second. Second by Amanda. Discussion.
I would just say this is another issue that has arisen as a result of the discovery law changes, where the state crime lab, which used to process all of the drug cases, has just decided not to prosecute or not to test misdemeanor charges. And in order to continue to be able to bring those charges on a selective basis, the district attorney has requested this funding to allow some testing on specific cases. But again, this is a cost that we will incur by going to private laboratories to get this work done as a result of the state rule changes in the amount of $10,000.
If it's okay with you, I actually would like to ask the district attorney to give us an idea of what are some of those cases that might be covered by this.
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
What are some misdemeanor cases that you would want to prosecute, and so you need crime lab for that?
So to clarify what Rich said, the state police lab, which has always done the testing for our drug cases, has never been able to or never willing to test misdemeanor quantity controlled substances that we've submitted to them. But in the past, because of the pre-criminal justice reform, we did not need a lab test report to be able to prosecute misdemeanor cases. We could use a field test. And that would be sufficient to be able to say that we were ready for trial. And, you know, to be clear, I don't ever want to prosecute those cases. I don't want to prosecute people who have misdemeanor quantity amounts of controlled substance. But what I do want to do is incentivize them into our ATIs. And so an ATI isn't an ATI if there is no stick of the threat of prosecution. So the way it's worked in the past is that we have charged people with misdemeanor quantities of controlled substance and then given them the option to go into treatment court, at which time their case would be dismissed when they're successful in going into treatment court. So without the ability to even file the charges for misdemeanor quantity controlled substance charges, I can't make people or even incentivize them into going into treatment court, which is going to affect the participation in treatment court. It's going to harm the community in the sense that the individuals who are committing low-level offenses of that nature are essentially decriminalizing small amounts, personal use amounts of heroin, cocaine, whatever the case may be. So the ability to test those substances with a private lab, which is going to cost $403 per case, is something I want to do very selectively. I don't want to go out and start charging people with controlled substance charges willy-nilly, but there are people who we need to get into treatment court, and so if I have the ability to test those drugs through the private lab in Pennsylvania, I want to do that in order to be able to get those people into the treatment courts.
Thank you, Matt. Our DA had shared some of this information with us in budget committee, and so I thought it would be good for all of you to hear sort of the rationale behind some of that. Any questions to the DA while he's been sitting here with us? No? Okay. Thank you very much. Right.
You're welcome. Thank you. And sorry to say this, but $10,000 might be not enough, and so I'll certainly be back.
We understand.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Any other discussion? To vote? That's another short roll call.
David McKenna?
Yes.
Less than the Dean Fairborn?
Yes. Anyone wish to be recorded as no? No? That carries.
And that's my report.
Thank you very much, Rich. Health and Human Services Committee, Shauna Black, Chair.
We have not met since our last legislature meeting. Also wanted to let everyone know that our meeting is moving to the third Monday at 1 p.m. here in the chambers. We will no longer be meeting Friday morning at 9 a.m. So sorry, early risers. Also would like to welcome Glenn Morey and Dan Klein, Deborah Dawson, and Amanda Champion. Thank you very much, Leslin, for serving on HHS. I'm looking around. Anna Kellis and Henry. We have a new gang, and it's just Dan and I that are returning. So should be a great time. In the next meeting, we will discuss our 2020 priorities as well as discuss some work plans for the departments that are reporting.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
Wait till I get off to move it, huh? All right, Facilities and Infrastructure Committee. Mike Lane, our new committee chair.
Yes, and the last meeting was held on February 20th, and actually Dave McKenna chaired that. So, Dave, please chime in if you want to add anything here. You've ably handled that committee for a lot of years, and we appreciate it. We did hear from Barbara Ekstrom. The problem, who is our recycling coordinator, that the recycling situation continues to be bad. And fortunately, we do have some long-term contracts with our operators, and they are managing to do the recycling with under the terms of the contract, and we haven't seen what some of the other counties have seen, where they simply can't sell some of the product, glass in particular. I'm thinking of Cortland County, and they're actually, for a time, they'll be dumping their glass in their landfill. So we're kind of lucky, but we're probably going to be looking at more expensive recycling costs, particularly when we get the new contracts in place, which we'll be starting to talk about this year. So hang on to your chairs. We've got a couple of resolutions out of the airport. We can talk about those when we get to that. Highway, important. We're going to bid on the Ludlowville Road Bridge, which is important replacement. And the state DOT is kind of anxious for us to move ahead with that because they want to replace the Route 34A bridge, which is one of the largest bridges in the region, and they're concerned about having proper and safe detours once that starts. So they're hopeful that our project will be completed before they have to close down the big bridge. We also went to bid for the Ellis Hollow Road reconstruction phase three. As far as Route 13 study, we've been getting some publicity on that. Ithaca Times has had an article. Coral Standards had articles. And the survey has been doing pretty well. I think I might have mentioned that at the last meeting. Thanks to the Highway Department, which put up their lighted signs and encouraging people to log in and answer the survey. And our public coordination group with the working with Barton and LaJudas, that's the Highland group, has been really pleased with the response we've had so far. I haven't heard exactly how many we've had, but it's well over 300 to 500, I think, responses, and that's pretty good.
Wow.
Anything else, Dave?
Yeah, nothing I can think of. You covered it pretty well.
I think I had one resolution that was pulled from the consent, and that's B, establishment of a consolidated facilities charge, rental car, Ithaca Tompkins Regional Airport, and I so move.
Second by Dave. Discussion. I pulled this off the agenda, and I promise you this is the last time I will do this to take up precious airtime.
I keep seeing the name of the airport different in different places. Is it the international or is it the regional? Are we still?
The answer is yes.
To whichever one we choose to use.
And
then I have another
question.
Depends
on what we're doing. We haven't had an official name change
been
recognized, but we are using international. Dan?
Well, I was just going to say, because I asked the same question at the meeting, and it does say international. It says it right on the airport, but the customs facility is not open yet, so it's not truly international yet. So what Mike said, yes, is the correct answer.
Well, there was someplace else where I saw in the same packet where it said the international airport. Anyhow, that wasn't my big question. The other question I had is I was trying to understand the whole rental car transaction per day. Is it per car per day, the $3 and whatever cents?
Mike Hall told us it was per transaction. So if you rent a car, you have to pay the passenger facility charge on the car. But the money from those PFCs, very similar to what we charge on the airplanes,
right,
have to be used for that specific service. So they can be used, for example, for upgrading parking lots, for the rental cars and other things like that.
So as a renter, that $3 addition I have to pay.
Yes.
That's correct. Just trying to clarify. Okay.
And apparently we've always had the authority to do this.
Right.
Recently we've hired some consultants to look at our financial situation at the airport. And this is one of the suggestions they gave us, said, you know, you're entitled to do this. Why don't you do it? It'll help you improve the facility for the car rental companies.
Okay. So I want to go to the results, the second result, resolve further that. See, with the $3 in the end. So it's $3 per transaction day. I was trying to understand what that means. Per day? Per.
I think that's per rental.
So why can't we just say that? Yes, Dan.
I'm pretty sure he said per rental per day. So you rent a car for 3 days, you pay $9. Car for a week,
that was my recollection, too.
Okay. All right. So now that's clearer to me. Thank you very much. All right. Any other discussion? All in favor? That carries unanimously. Thank you very much.
Also have resolution Q, authorization to transfer funds from the airport fund balance to the airport operating budget for professional services, consultant fees, Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport. We can carry it in international, but again, as Dan said, we don't yet have the customs office open.
Second. Seconded by Dave. Thank you. Discussion. There's a short roll call again.
David McKenna.
Yes.
Leslie McKee-Fairborn.
Yes. Anyone wish to be recorded as no? That carries. Thank you very much.
That's all I have.
Thank you, Mike. Government Operations, Amanda Champion, new chair.
Thank you, Leslie. We have not met since the last legislature meeting, and I just want to thank Mike Lane for serving in the past year as our chair. I'm sure he can continue to guide me in my probably likely mistakes. And thank you to Deborah also for serving on that committee. We will now be having Henry and Mike Sigler will be joining us as well. We are meeting this Thursday, and our time has shifted a little bit. It's a little bit awkward, but to accommodate committee members, we're starting at 1:45 on the first Thursday of the month. So show up at 1:45 if you want to talk about more policies. We're going to talk about prohibition of weapons, explosives, and firearms on county property. We're going to talk about public notification of construction activities, separation and reinstatement of employees, and reinstated employees. We're also going to discuss our committee goals and priorities for the year, as other committees are doing. We are going to begin a discussion about revising or updating the rules of the legislature. And we had talked at a previous meeting about possibly forming a subcommittee to work on that, and that will be an ongoing discussion throughout the year. And then the other big thing, it's really going to be a big meeting, we're going to be discussing the upcoming redistricting process. Based on our census results coming, which we will be getting back not until about a year from now, and our upcoming legislature elections, we have to discuss how to negotiate the kind of awkward timing of elections and new districts. So it's a complex issue. If anyone is interested, please come to talk more about that. And I think that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. Martha, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I'm looking at your agenda, and so the redistricting topic is in the neighborhood of probably 2:30 or so. This has happened to me a few times where I'll check an agenda, and there's a certain item I'm interested in, and I'll come, and it's either been moved ahead or behind or whatever. So I don't know if – so it's a general comment to all committees if you know, members of the public and your colleagues may be looking at particular items to come for that item, and do you expect that this will be the order? I know there's no, you can't say it'll be exactly such and such a time, but this is the order that you.
Yeah, well, generally, so Elizabeth Cree and Steve DeWitt from the Board of Elections will also be there. If they get there, I don't want them to necessarily have to sit and wait. If we're still, you know, I might switch and have our priorities and goals come after that. It's hard to say, but I'm not going to move it to the beginning of the agenda, just, you know, because I know people might come about halfway through. So
it's a general, you know, not aiming at you, but it comes up in this because that's a particular one out of a larger agenda. So.
Point well taken.
Thanks,
and we want to encourage people, give or take, you know, 5 or 10 minutes on either side of a discussion that the way it's calendared would be, you know, good practice. Thank you, Amanda. Anything else for Amanda? All right, moving on. Planning, Energy, and Environmental Quality Committee, Deb Dawson, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, I want to, where did she go? Where's Annie? We're losing Annie.
No, she's right there.
Okay. Well, no, I mean, we're losing Annie on the committee. And I want to thank her for her keeping electric vehicles front and center and for her humor and her dioramas. She will be replaced by Dan Klein, who now has big shoes to fill. Our meetings will continue to be on the fourth Monday at 1:30. At our last meeting, we started a conversation about what our goals are going to be in the coming year. We would like to finish up with the forest management plan. We want to delve into energy advocacy and take advantage of the expertise that our Climate and Sustainable Energy Board will provide us. We also want to look closely at water advocacy, and I met with Dan because he couldn't be at last Monday's meeting, and he suggested, I think it's a valid point and something we should be exploring, that we consider what services the county is offering in terms of water quality and what services we might add. And that goes to the issue of whether or not at some point in the future the county will have a watershed coordinator or manager. And then finally, we want to increase our focus on agriculture, especially given a couple of issues that will be on the agendas, including the problematic transition to hemp which I guess this turned out to be a big bust for people who rushed to get on the bandwagon already. And then also another issue that that is problematic is, on the one hand, we need more sustainable energy installations like solar and wind. On the other hand, we don't want to use the best farmland in the county for that purpose. So there's a built-in tension there that we ought to at least explore and become educated on. And then finally, I guess we want to continue our focus on waste management, but we're going to be shifting to textiles since that's the area that the Waste Reduction Committee of EMC is going to be looking at. Also, I've been contacted by NYPIRG. They're really pushing clean water infrastructure in Albany, so that might be something that our Tigger group would consider working on. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. Questions for Deborah? Martha?
Yeah, thank you for sending around the announcement of the governor's 30-day amendment having to do with siting of energy, renewable energy projects. Katie and I had a good talk about it this morning, and I was on a phone call about it yesterday. It's a really big change, and I think it would really be an important topic for the committee to really dive into. In particular, I think there really ought to be a concerted push to make sure there's some recognition of the protection of ag soil, prime soils in the evaluation of sites, especially for large scale solar. So, I hope that the committee will talk about that and that they really and maybe bring in the Ag and Farmland Protection Board as well, because it's something that we really, now's the time really to try to affect, try to get the state to think about it, which from all the conversations we've had so far, they're like, oh, that's an, I real oh, didn't hadn't thought of that. So it's going to be a real issue.
Thank you, Martha. I'm sure Deborah will take that under advisement, and the committee will plug along. Anything else for Deborah? Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, new chair, Martha Robertson.
Thank you very much, Leslin. We are meeting next Monday, the 9th, at 10 o'clock in this room. We will not be meeting at 10 o'clock. Usually, the usual meeting will be 3 o'clock on the second Monday. The reason we're meeting 10 o'clock next Monday is the meetings with the communication director applicants. So I want to encourage folks to try to come to those. I think it's Friday the 6th from 2 o'clock to 5 in this room, and then again that Monday the 9th from 2 to 5 in this room. Let's see. I got 3:30 to 5:30 here in this room. So budget, capital, and personnel will I'm glad Mike Lane is going to be on the committee because the rest of us are new to it. I've been on budget, capital, and personnel, but it's a long time ago. We're going to be welcoming Dave and Shauna and Deborah. So we may be doing a fair amount of kind of refreshing everybody on the policies that and the procedures in managing budget and personnel issues as well. So look forward to that to the year. And so the agenda is out today, including the goals from last year and a few draft ideas for goals for this year. So look forward to that discussion.
Any questions for Martha? Thank you, Martha. And I want to thank all of you for jumping right in your new committees or continuing with committees you've been on. Thank you to the new chairs who are taking up committees, and I look forward to seeing your goals and all the work that's going to be done. Thank you for being extra vigilant in moving this along so that we can get the business of county government going strongly. So thank you all. There are no member filed resolutions.
Let me take the minutes of the previous meeting before we go into executive session. Moved by Amanda. May I have a second, please? Dan seconds the minutes. Thank you very much. Any amendments to the minutes? Any deletions? I'm looking at you with evil eyes if you're good to. No? Thank you. Vote on the minutes. All in favor of the minutes as they were presented? Any noes? Who carries unanimously? Thank you very much. Yes, Dan?
I have a piece of unfinished business.
Unfinished business?
Sorry. I was kind of snoozing when the consent agenda went by. And there was something on Resolution F that needs to get corrected. And because it's a public hearing, I wanted to make sure it got corrected correctly. Caroline, the town of Caroline, should have been included in that resolution. That didn't get incorporated, did it?
That is very true. It did not.
So it's both in the title of the resolution and then also on line 17. So I don't know what the procedure is for if that's manifest or not. I just don't know. But I like I said, because it's a public hearing, I didn't want it to go unchecked.
You good with that, Michelle?
Good enough?
Good enough.
Thank you.
Good enough for government work today. Thank you, Dan, for bringing that up. Motion to go into executive session.
For the purpose being?
Real estate
negotiations.
Moved by Martha. May I have a second? Deborah, we're going to take a few minutes to stretch and relax while the cameras get shut down. We do not intend to make any decisions coming out of executive committee on that. Thank you all.